Hi, this is Andrew Thorpe from Speakeasy Groups. I'm sat here with Ashley Baroda from Ashley Baroda Entertainment. Now, Ashley, you train, amongst other things, stand-up comedians, but you've been doing some work in the corporate world. So tell me what you've been doing there.
Using very similar methods that I use to train stand-ups is I train solicitors who have to make regular presentations, and I use stand-up comedy skills as a tool for that training.
Okay, so in terms of, you know, presentation horrors or problems that you encounter, what do you see professional people doing in that domain? What are they getting wrong?
It's simple. It's always information overload. So they tell their audience long bits of information that they're not interested in and don't need to know. And that's normally accompanied by slides that are telling you exactly the same thing. And people don't remember lots of long bits of information. They also don't need to know the law in its detail. They know that's what they'd be paying that person to do. What they need to do is know why they would need them in the first place. That's the key difference.
So why do you think people put too much stuff in? What's their motivation for doing that?
I think there's two reasons. I think one, they think they have to justify themselves to say, look how much I know on my subject, which is a mistake. And the other thing they think is because they've seen other people do it in the past, that they just copy what they've done. And that's the two reasons. And what I'm trying to do is break that cycle so that they no longer do it. Also, I'm very conscious of how it is to sit through a presentation. So I want to be engaged from beginning to end. And as soon as it gets dull, people switch off. A lot of these things take place at breakfast time as well. And I've explained that to every single person I've ever trained that if your key prospect, the person who you most want as your client, you know is coming, but for some reason or other they get caught in traffic, can't find somewhere to park, and they turn up just as it's starting. So they've missed the bit they really wanted to come for, which was the breakfast. So they're hungry. So the moment you stop engaging them, the moment they start thinking about their breakfast.
Yes.
And they do. That's exactly what it is. They go through exactly what it is they'd like to eat. And at which point, somewhere along the line, and we've all done this, you come to and go, ugh, what was that?
I also read somewhere that the audience's attention spans tend to be quite high at the beginning before you've started, presumably because they're intrigued about what you're going to be like. And they also get quite high again at the end because they know it's nearly at the end.
Absolutely. That's always the case. So the important thing is to be brilliant at the beginning so that you can hold their attention throughout. Mm. And know that you've got key points throughout the presentation that are going to prick people's interest. Mm. And the best way of doing that, in my opinion, is to do something either revelationary or funny. Mm. And people will remember what it is you say. I do a little exercise where I show people a boring clip and then ask some questions. And they can't really tell me anything about it. Later on, I show them a longer clip, which is funny throughout, in which they can tell me pretty much everything that went on, simply because humour engages the brain. Mm, mm,
mm. And also, when you, you know, I go to lots of presentations at professional services firms where they invite an audience in, and presumably they invite them in because they want to impress them and maybe do some business with the audience. But the difficulty seems to be that they try and establish their technical credentials when giving the presentation, as opposed to giving the audience a good time or making them feel, you know, happy and interesting them in some way. Why is that error made, do you think?
The same thing as I said earlier, again, it's just justification of the fact that you say you're worried that they won't think that you're well qualified enough to be doing what you're doing.
Now, but you have a big office, though, and they're in it, and
absolutely.
It's all very posh.
So they wouldn't be there.
You must be good at something.
They wouldn't be there in the first place if they didn't think you knew what you were doing. That's exactly the point.
Yes.
And the idea is, I say to them, if at the end of it they can remember one thing you've said and your name, and if it's not in the firm's offices, the name of the firm, then your job is successful.
Yes.
Anything less than that is pointless. Anything more is a bonus, no question. The idea is they've really got to be able to like you. And therefore, there's this thing that you hear a lot in the business world about know, like, trust, which is slightly in the wrong order. You've got to like somebody first, then you'll get to know them. And then once you like them and know them, then that trust will build between you if they are, in fact, trustworthy.
Yes.
So the likability is all important. If you go out there and start speaking and you're likable instantly, people are interested in what you've got to say. And being funny actually does make you likable. Even miserable people who are funny, people like.
But you've got to be careful about humour, haven't you? I mean, you're in the humour game, but when, you know, you see Al